الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال تعالى: والليل إذا يغشى والنهار إذا تجلى وما خلق الذكر والأنثى إن سعيكم لشتى فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, the ayats which I recited now in the khutbah from Surah Al-Layl, a surah that we commonly hear recited in the salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences the surah with taking a few oaths. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the night. I take an oath by the night when it covers up everything. As the night progresses, it becomes dark. Everything is covered with darkness. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. And I take an oath by the day when it becomes manifest, when it becomes clear. Now as the sun starts and you see the broad daylight and everything becomes bright. So if you look at the night and you look at the day, you will find that these are two opposite creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The night is dark and the day is bright. So they're completely distinct. They're completely opposite. A person knows when it is night. He knows when it is day. There's no ambiguity, there's no doubt. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on the male and female. وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. And I take an oath on the being who created the male and the female. These are also two distinct creations. The male is completely different and the female is completely different. That is why one psychologist, he wrote a book, and the name of the book is Men from Mars, Women from Venus. As though two different species coming from two different planets, mindsets are completely different. Sometimes a person needs to understand this now when he is dealing with his wife or he's dealing with his daughter, he has to understand that the thinking is completely different. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the subject of the oath. Inna sa'yakum lashatta. Verily, your efforts also are diverse. Like how the night and day are completely different and opposite to one another. Like how the male and female are completely different and opposite to one another, your efforts also are in completely opposite directions. Someone is making an effort and he is moving to Jannat. Another person is making an effort and he is going towards Jahannam. So two different destinations, two different efforts. Remember the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif for us to ponder. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning this? Not just to tell you a story or just as a pastime. Now a person needs to ponder and think to himself, in which line are my efforts going? I am also making an effort. Where are my efforts taking me? To which direction? Inna sa'yakum lashatta. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your efforts are completely diverse. One man, he wakes up in the morning, he packs his car up, and he is going to the casino. Another person, he wakes up in the morning, he packs his car up, he is going to spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is going to the ijtima. Diverse efforts. This man is making an effort for his akhirat. One person is making an effort for Jannat. The other person is making an effort only for the dunya, only for some entertainment, for some pastime. The hadith mentions, Man ghada ila salati subhi, ghada bi rayatil iman. Person wakes up in the morning, going for fajr namaz. Then he has come out with the banner of iman. He's got the flag of iman with him. He's going for fajr namaz. Waman ghada ila suq, ghada bi rayatil shaitan. The second person woke up in the morning, he's heading to the marketplace. No fajr namaz. No namaz, no concern, no fikr of deen. He's going to make money. So the hadith says, this person came out with the banner of shaitan. He's got the flag of shaitan in his hands. So, inna sa'yakum lashatta. Remember, you will have to pass every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in this dunya with a certain lifespan. And every day you will pass. It's not that you're not going to pass a day, but what matters is, how you pass the day. As the other hadith says, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ يَغْدُو فَبَائِعُ نَفْسَهُ فَمُؤْتِقُهَا وَمُوبِقُهَا. Every person in the morning he wakes up and he occupies himself with some work or the other. Either he is going to save himself from the fire of Jahannam or he is going to destroy himself. Either you're going to occupy yourself with something that's going to take you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going to save you in the akhirat, save you from jahannam, you're going to destroy yourself. You're going to occupy yourself in something that is haram, something that is impermissible. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some of the features of both these groups, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for the person who gives, أَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى, he gives. So there's two explanations given for this. One is like the literal meaning, person gives zakat, a person gives sadaqah, a person spends his money, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless someone with wealth, then he's supposed to be spending his wealth. He doesn't have to spend all his wealth, but a good amount of wealth he's supposed to be spending in the right avenue, in those things that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى. Remember, sadaqah has got very great rewards and great benefits. مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَال. The hadith says, sadaqah will not decrease your money. When a man wants to spend, what happens? Immediately he says, I'm going to spend this year, what if I need it? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is already correcting that mindset. Sadaqah is not going to decrease your money. Don't make that mistake and think, you're going to spend now, your money is going to get less. No. Sadaqah won't decrease your money. There's one incident of a certain sheikh. He was in America, and one person came to him and he told him that we need a masjid in this locality, in this area, we need a masjid. I can't remember the exact amount, but more or less I'll just give you what I remember of the amounts. So he says, okay, very good. Make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the arrangements. So this person found a plot. How much it was at that time? Maybe $100,000 or whatever it was. He told him this plot is available and it's already, it was a synagogue, so it's already a place of worship. There's no need now for us to do any paperwork. We can just buy it and we can convert it to a masjid. But I don't have that money now, $100,000. The sheikh told him, see, I am not a person that goes around asking for money. So that's not in me, to go around asking people. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you see what is within your capacity. But what I can tell you is that whatever you will spend in this, I'm guaranteeing you Allah will give you 10 times back that amount. 10 times. This person went, he saw whatever he got in his savings, his children's savings, whatever, somehow or the other he made up the money, $100,000, and put the masjid up. Masjid came up, people are asking now, hey, where this, how this masjid just came up? Normally masjid's coming up, people said, no, Allah Ta'ala made it happen. The sheikh made dua, whatever, Allah Ta'ala put the masjid. Goes back to the sheikh, Hazrat, don't forget what you guaranteed me. You told me, I'm going to get 10 times back that amount. He said, no, I'm still standing by my word. Allah will give this sabr. Don't expect it to happen overnight. So the sheikh asked him, what you do? He said, no, I got this business, whatever. Okay, you have any extra property? He said, I got this one property. Okay, what you do? Sell the property. Sell the property, and then when you get some, make a profit, buy another one, and do that as a sideline business. After a few months, the man made 10 times that amount. He came back and he told the sheikh, Hazrat, exactly as you told me 10 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me more than 10 times that amount. Now I made that money. I just dreamed this business here. So he told him, see, I only told you 10 times because our tawakkul is not so strong. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can even give you more than that. But because our tawakkul is weak, I told you, you'll get 10 times back. And I was confident and sure 100% this is what is going to happen. So respected friends, remember, sadaqah doesn't decrease your money. If you're thinking to yourself, I'm spending, I'm going to get less. But obviously, the man got debts and, you know, he must see his circumstances. Doesn't mean now the man doesn't have anything. He's just going to go. But if a person has got surplus money and he gives some portion of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to even bless him in the dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put barakat in the balance of his money. So he will be protected. The hadith says, "Badiru bi sadaqa ala yatakhattaha." That rush when it comes to giving sadaqah. Don't delay, because calamities will not surpass that. Sometimes a man gave 50 rand. Allah saved him from a 50,000 loss. He doesn't understand that. You know, I gave 50 rand. He doesn't know that 50 rand you gave, 50,000 loss Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him from. So, badiru bi sadaqah. When it comes to spending, zakat, hassinu amwalakum bizakah. The hadith says, fortify your wealth through zakat. Always give extra zakat. Don't give less zakat. Because if you're going to give less to the proportion, you're going to give less, you're going to have problems. That is going to be in your wealth. It's going to bring calamities. It's going to bring difficulties. So give extra. When it comes to zakat, always give extra. You can even give less sadaqah, but give more zakat. So hassinu amwal. So this is the first thing. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. Person who gives. There was a sahabi by the name of Hazrat Ali ibn Hatim radiallahu ta'ala. His father was Hatim Toi. Hatim Toi was known in the Arabs for his generosity. He was proverbial, you know, like the generosity of Hatim Toi. Such a generous man Hatim Toi was. So his son was also very generous, Hazrat Ali ibn Hatim. One person came to Ali ibn Hatim, radiallahu anhu. He told him, I'm having a function in my house. I need some pots to cook. Now, because these people are cooking all the time, they're feeding people all the time, the big pots and digs they had. She says, okay, when is this function? It's happening on such and such a date. Okay, I'll send the pots to you. Now the man is, every day is passing, getting closer to the function. Now a few days left, still the pots have not arrived. The day of the function has come. The guests have arrived. And here he sees the big pots coming. But not just the pots, with delicious food ready to eat. Now the pots came. Now the man was worried initially, but he's overjoyed. Now he doesn't have to get anyone to prepare the food. He doesn't have to buy the ingredients. Everything is all arranged for him. So he asks Hazrat Ali ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu, after that I asked you for the pots. Why did you take the trouble of sending the food? He said, an empty pot never left this house of ours. It's against our family tradition for an empty pot to leave this house. If the pot is leaving the house, there has to be food in the pot. We don't send empty pots. So you ask me for the pot, whatever, that's, it wasn't right for you to ask me more than that, but I had to send the food also. I'm showing you the mindset of the people of the past. They felt it now, if Allah Ta'ala has given me an opportunity to feed someone, I need to thank that man 10 times that he, to feed him. So this is generosity. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. First thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the man who gives. The second explanation of giving is, أَعْطَى حُقُوكَ اللَّهِ. He fulfills all the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means, in every situation, he obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I must obey him. Every situation of life. So that's one meaning of second meaning of A'ta. Then, what taqwa, the second quality, he's got taqwa. This word, taqwa, is repeated dozens of times throughout the Quran Sharif, in different ways, the word taqwa. In fact, the very beginning, Suratul Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, Dhalika Al-Kitab, La Rayba Fi, Hudal Lil Muttaqin. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, this Quran is a guidance for who? For those who got taqwa. Man who got no taqwa, what do you worry about the Quran Sharif? What is he concerned of what Allah Ta'ala even said in the Quran? He said, no taqwa, he's not worried about anything. So this taqwa, in fact, some ulama mentioned that if there's one word that got all the good of the world and all the good of the hereafter in it, then it is taqwa. Throughout the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions numerous benefits. Just in Surah At-Talaq, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions 5 benefits of taqwa. People want barakat. Everyone wants barakat in their life. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah Ta'ala says, if they just can bring iman and adopt taqwa, we will open up to them the blessings of the skies and the earth. Allah will give so much of barakat. But the condition is, adopt taqwa. So, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَىٰ وَاتَّقُوا. What is taqwa? In simple words, taqwa is a man is constantly concerned. I mustn't do the wrong thing. I mustn't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever happens now, I mustn't do the wrong thing. I mustn't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I must only please my creator, that's all. Everything else doesn't really matter so much. What matters is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be pleased with me. When a man got taqwa, then remember, he'll fulfill the rights of Allah and he will fulfill the rights of people. We find people fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A man can be in the masjid. He can be in the first saf. He can be a buzurg in the masjid. People are complimenting him. But when he goes home, it's another story. Then he becomes a tyrant. Then he becomes a zalim. Now they don't know now what mood Hazrat is going to come in today with. We don't know what fight he's going to pick now. What he's going to start. That's a lack of taqwa. Why? Because one is a man got taqwa and says, Allah Ta'ala is watching me. When I'm in the masjid, Allah is watching me. When I'm at home, Allah is watching me. When I'm in my bedroom, Allah is watching me. When I'm in my office, Allah is watching me. He knows everything I'm doing. He knows every move I'm making. So he will be very careful not to violate the rights of anyone. Why? Because taqwa. He's got this quality in him. He's got this consciousness. He's worried. Man who has got taqwa, slightest doubt, he leave it out. But I'm not going close to it. Jazakallah, you carry on, you go there, you do what you want to do. thank you, I'm far away from that. Why? Slightest doubt, taqwa. I can't displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can't do it. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the person who gives, the second thing, he's got this quality of taqwa. Remember, taqwa will come in the company of the Ahlullah. You have to sit in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will get taqwa in you. Then you learn what is taqwa. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud al-Hassan Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, once he was traveling, so he had a whole lot of fatwas to write. So normally they'd have like a scribe. Now you have people with the computers and they put it on, they print it out, they type it out. So then they would have a scribe. So Hazrat got the scribe and he's leaving now on Safar now in the morning. He's got to travel somewhere and he's finishing up all these fatwas because all this thing has to, the answers has to go to the people. They have asked questions. Now you have to give them the responses. And the scribe makes some mistake and he mixes it up. Put the wrong answer in the wrong question, and naturally, Hazrat Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi was upset about it and he shouted him. He told him, what's wrong with you? I need to travel now, miss my train, and you're not concentrating, you're not putting the right answer and the right question. So he's going now on the Safar, and he's seeing Hazrat is very quiet. That was not the time of cell phone. Now you can phone a man straight away. Anything happens, you can phone him after half an hour. There was no cell phone that time. So Hazrat is very quiet. So someone asks him, Hazrat, why are you so quiet? On the Tsunami, Buzugarindin in Safar, they're a bit jovial. So he said, no, whole way I'm making dua for that man. Because I told him something, I felt I exceeded the limit. I shouted him, I was not supposed to shout him in that way. So because of that concern now, he would have perhaps apologized when he met the person. But now already, it's my capacity, I can make dua for him. So this is, you learn all this in the company of the pious people. They're so particular, so worried. Hey, what word I said now? You know, they say your words are like arrows. So when you say something, it's like you got a gun in your hand. We won't relate so much to arrows. Maybe more people will relate to guns. So you're taking your gun and you're shooting the person. When you're saying the word, it's like releasing an arrow. Can you bring the arrow back? Can't bring the arrow back. You released it, you injured the person, you hurt him, you killed him, whatever you did. Now after that you can say what you want to say. It's too late. So similarly, when it comes to words, how careful you need to be about when you're speaking to people, how we speak, what words we use, what we say. No matter, you don't have to worry about how that person treats, stoop down to the character of others. You maintain your own character. If he is a low person, and he's a person that doesn't have any ethics and morals in his life, then unfortunately that is his way of life. You maintain your character. If you are a person that's got a good character, however he will behave, you will maintain your calm, you will maintain your composure. You will not get angry, or you will say what you have to say, and you will leave it to that. But you won't go beyond the limit. So this is taqwa. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. The third thing the Quran Sharif says is that he testifies in the kalima. You know, la ilaha illallah. He believes in the kalima. Now we are going through very dangerous times. The hadith already informed us. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us already. That's why we need to be more wary, because he told us the time is coming. Yusbihu rajulu mu'mina wa yumsi kafira. That a man in the morning he'll be a mu'min, he'll have iman. At night he loses iman. In the night he'll have iman. In the morning, it means he'll say something, he'll do something. He'll legitimize something. Mullah Ali Qayyim Rahimahullah explains, people will start legitimizing. Something is haram, you're making that thing halal. You're legitimizing it. It's a very dangerous thing. Allah Ta'ala is telling you something is haram. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling you something is haram. You're making it halal. It's dangerous. If you don't know what you're doing, rather always be in contact with senior ulama, the pious people, Allah Walas. So, this is the time that we are seeing now. There's in every era, Muslims went through challenges, every era. Now the challenge is directed towards our iman. It's towards our iman. You will hear very, very deceptive lines. All streams lead to the same river. Meaning, Allah protect, all religions are taking you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how can all religions take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah himself is telling you in the Quran Sharif, إِنَّ الدِّينَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Any person looking for any other deen besides Islam will never be accepted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you in the Quran Sharif, there is only one deen. When you're saying La ilaha illallah, what you are saying, there's no one worthy of worship. You can't worship anyone else. You can't worship any idol. You can't worship any deity. You can't worship any, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no one else worthy of worship. Anything else besides that, I'm staying very far from that. I'm not even going near it. I don't want to even hear it. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. Thank you. You got your deen. I got my deen. You know, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Inna bura'au minkum wa mimma ta'budun. We are disassociating ourselves from you. We are your enemies. وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغَضَاءُ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying, Quran Sharif is relating this here. I've got an enmity with you, I've got a hatred with you. As good as Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was, Abun Rahim, such a compassionate father he was. But when it came to Iman, thank you, I've got nothing to do with that day. I am staying very, very far. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they went to different places. جِئْنَا لِنُخْرِجَ الْإِبَادِ مِنْ إِبَادَةِ الْإِبَادِ إِلَىٰ إِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. What they said? Why we came here? We came to take people out from the worship of people to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They brought people in deen. We are complimenting kuffar on their kufr, unfortunately. That's become our condition. Be congratulating them. Carry on doing your kufr as though you're doing wonders now. And what is kufr? You are rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Shirk is the greatest sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive any other sin. But shirk you never forget. That man can be a murderer. He can be the worst of people too. Allah can forgive him. But shirk, if the man doesn't change, he doesn't make tawbah, and he doesn't come into iman. So wasaddaqa bil husna. He testifies in the kalima. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for that person, فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. Now we'll pave the way for him to go to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you. Bring those qualities in your life. Be firm when it comes to your iman. There must be zero compromise when it comes to your belief. Don't be wavering. No, be firm. Don't go near kufr and disbelief. Now we're going to pave the way for you to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the true understanding to understand the Quran Sharif and bring it within our lives. And respected friends, inshallah, in next week the Ijtima will be starting. It's a very ideal opportunity for us to strengthen our iman, consolidate our iman, and boost the batteries of our iman. May Allah grant us.